content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Polomsky. And we had left off last time in May with plans and plans for lawns. And I'm going to start the beginning again. It's just one little paragraph, and it starts to raise summer tough lawns, encourage the development of a deep root system by watering only when the need arises. Look for signs of moisture stress, folded or curled leaves, a dull bluish-gray color, and footprints that remain in the grass long after you've walked over it. Water areas that exhibit these symptoms first. Irrigate only those areas that are important to your landscape. Water late at night or early in the morning when dew has formed, which will not encourage disease. It will also save you money. At midday in hot, dry, windy weather, 30% or more of the water evaporates. Watering at night or in early morning cuts evaporation in half, to 15 to 20%. Because it takes 640 gallons of water to irrigate 1,000 square feet with 1 inch of water, late night and early morning watering provides substantial savings. Gradually raise the mowing height by 1/4 to 1/2 as the temperature climbs. A higher mowing height encourages deeper root growth and reduces heat stress. Make sure that your mower blade is sharp. Grasses that are cut cleanly lose less water and heal more rapidly than leaves shedding by a dull mower blade. Avoid a fast food diet by using a slow-release fertilizer that contains 1/4 to 1/2 of its nitrogen in a water-insoluble or slowly available form. And next, for perennials and ornamental grasses. If you're serious about growing perennials well, start a journal this month, perhaps even a blog. Document your observations, thoughts, and plans for the future. Take note of some of the following items. Blooming dates for each variety. Condition of the flowers, leaves, and overall health of your perennials. Pest problems such as insects, diseases, and weeds. Kinds of pesticides used and when they were applied. Plants that need to be moved or replaced because they grew larger than you expected or were more demanding than you had planned. Your journal can become a teaching tool, especially when you need the assistance of a county extension agent, master gardener, or a garden center staff person to help you diagnose a particular problem. The notes you took about weather conditions, fertilizing, watering, and any pest control applications are important clues that can help reveal the answer. So start writing. And next, for shrubs. With summer around the corner, take some time this month to consider the irrigation method best suited to your situation. If you're going to water by hand, find a nozzle that breaks the water into rain-sized droplets that won't wash the soil away. If you choose to automate, consider an irrigation system. Some install-it-yourself systems allow you to turn the water on and off yourself or automatically in various patterns and for any length of time. The simplest is a soaker hose, a fibrous tube that sweats or allows water to seep out along its length. It is suitable for dense plantings. Some systems have nozzles that deliver the water in a low horizontal pattern that wets the root zone but keeps the plants dry. The most efficient watering method is drip or trickle irrigation. Such systems use short tubes called emetters, which come off a main water supply hose and go directly to the base of the plant. And that word that I had trouble with, I'm sorry, is emetters. E-M-I-T-T-E-R-S, emetters. This is generally the most expensive form of irrigation and the most complex to set up, but it has advantages. The weeds in the area are not watered, and evaporation from the soil is minimized. Drip systems can have problems with clogging from soil particles and or mineral salts suspended in water taken from springs or wells. New designs address this problem. Some include filters and self-flushing emitters. All these systems can work on a timer. And next is trees. Update your gardening journal, noting spring flowering trees, their peak bloom periods, and pest problems. Use this information to add trees, rearrange or replace, and correct any problems. Keep a record of the varieties you grow. By knowing the specific names, you can ask for that variety next season if you like it, or avoid it if it wasn't up to par. For vines and ground covers, this month, keep an eye out for troubling spots in the landscape. If you've been struggling to grow turf grass in an area that receives less than 4 hours of sunlight, and you choose not to thin out the tree canopy to admit more sunlight, consider evergreen shade-loving ground covers. Some shade-loving ground covers that can be used in place of turf are English ivy, liriope, Pachysandra, periwinkle, winter creeper, euonymus, and carpet bugleweed. And next, for water gardens, consider expanding your pool to include a bog garden. Creating a bog will be easy if you have a naturally low, poorly drained area that collects water. If you're going to install a bog garden, you can dig a shallow depression outside of the water garden that can catch any overflow. Extend the flexible liner over this basin and fill it with soil. Visit the Bog Garden in Greensboro and the University of North Carolina at Charlotte Botanical Gardens to see the beauty and diversity of bog plants. And for planting, here is the next topic. For annuals, plant warm season annuals for summer color. Set out those you started indoors and continue to plant zinnia seed at intervals to have cut flowers until frost. Overplant bulb beds with annuals using seeds or transplants. Take care to avoid injuring the bulbs when planting. Although cool season annuals such as pansies and violas may still be flowering, the heat will make them stretch and get leggy. Pull them out and replace them with heat-loving summer annuals such as African daisy, Ageratum, Celosia, Coxcomb, Marigold, Pentas, Vinca, or Madagascar Periwinkle, Petunia, Portulaca, Salvia, and Zinnias for sunny areas. Geraniums and New Guinea Impatiens are excellent if you have afternoon shade. For shady areas, use Begonias, Coleus, and Impatiens. Grow your own dried flowers. Start seeds of Status, Globe Amaranth, Straw Flowers, and other Everlastings for this year's arrangement. And for bulbs, after the last freeze, plant tender summer bulbs such as Cannas, Dahlias, Ginger Lilies, and Tuberoses that have been stored over the winter or purchased from mail order companies or garden centers. In the mountains, plant tuberous begonias, but don't set the pot out until after the last expected freeze. Plant caladium bulbs when soil temperature goes above 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Caladiums prefer shade to partial shade. However, there are fancy-leaved selections that do well and tolerate sun, such as Aran, Caroline Wharton, Fire Chief, Florida Elise, Florida Sweetheart, Red Flash, Scarlet Beauty, and White Queen. A few sun-tolerant lance-leaf types include Gingerland, Miss Muffet, and Red Frill. And for edibles, sow warm weather vegetables such as beans, cucumbers, okra, and southern peas. Extend your sweet corn harvest by planting successive crops when the previous crop has 3 to 4 leaves, or plant early, mid, and late maturing varieties all at the same time. Set out herb transplants. Continue setting out transplants of warm weather vegetables such as eggplant, muskmelon, New Zealand spinach, peppers, summer squash, sweet potato slips, tomatoes, and watermelon. French tarragon doesn't like the heat and wet weather in the warmer areas of the coastal plain. A heat-tolerant substitute is Mexican mint marigold. And for lawns, think twice before starting a cool season lawn now from seed. The seedlings won't have time to get settled before the onset of hot weather. consider installing sod, provided you're willing to keep it watered during its establishment and droughty periods this summer. And we're going on to perennials and ornamental grasses. It's not too late to plant perennials as long as you're willing to pamper them, helping with regular watering to speed up their establishment before hot summer weather arrives. Roses. A potted rose makes a great gift for Mother's Day. That's for roses. Okay, shrubs and trees. Although shrubs are best planted in the fall, container-grown plants can be planted throughout the summer as long as you pay careful attention to watering. When the flowers fade on your Mother's Day hydrangeas, don't throw them out. Plant them in the garden where they'll get morning sun and afternoon shade. Trees are best planted during cooler seasons when the top growth has little demand for moisture. Container-grown plants, however, can be successfully transplanted on the heels of summer if you water them regularly during their establishment period. Palms transplant best in spring and summer when they're actively growing. When it's time to plant tomatoes, it's time to plant palms. They prefer a well-drained, fertile, slightly acidic to natural soil, to neutral soil. Cold-sensitive palms should be placed within 8 to 10 feet of the warm southwest side of a brick wall for a few extra degrees of protection in the winter. Tender palms should not be planted in exposed areas where they can be harmed by dry, cold winter winds. Vines and ground cover. It's a good time to dig and divide those crowded lyrop borders. You may be able to find enough neighbors to share the bounty. Plant container-grown vines and ground covers, but be careful. They'll need attention after planting until they get established. Make sure you're familiar with the plant's site preferences prior to planting. Plant seeds or seedlings of annual vines like Morning Glory, Moonflower, and Scarlet Runner Bean. Plant the summer annuals you sowed indoors into the garden after the last freeze in your area. And for water gardens, time the planting of your tropical water lilies with the planting of your tender vegetables and warm season annuals after the last expected freeze. They can be planted in your water garden when the water temperature stays above 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Tropical water lilies are sold dormant and bare root or non-dormant with a few leaves, roots, and perhaps buds. It's important that you prevent the tuber from drying out. Put it in a bowl of water before planting. And our next topic is care. And the care first for annuals. Thin direct seeded annuals to the correct spacing. To make room for warm season annuals, mountain gardeners can remove cool season annuals when they begin to decline. Although plant breeders have developed compact, sturdy varieties that require no support, other tall growing types need support for protection from buffeting winds and rain. To promote bushy growth, pinchback annuals when they're 4 to 6 inches in height. Specific plant tips include: pinch out the shoot tips of marigolds, petunias, salvias, and zinnias. Pinch the shoot tips of cosmos to encourage branching. If unpinched, the stems may require staking to keep them upright. Shear alyssum and lobelia after flowering. Remove the spent flowers of sweet William. And remove the yellow flowers of dusty Mylar to keep the leaves looking good throughout the growing season. If the plant gets leggy, cut it back to about half its height to encourage branching and denser growth. And next is bulbs. After blooming, cut off spent flowers and stalks from bearded irises. Cut flower stalks back to the ground on daffodils and other spring flowering bulbs as flowers fade. Do not cut the leaves until they die naturally. Leaves are necessary for producing strong bulbs capable of reflowering. If you have to hide the dying leaves, consider these tips. Interplant with perennials that will grow above and hide the bulb leaves. Plant taller flower bulbs behind lower growing shrubs. Intersperse clump-forming plants such as ornamental grasses, liriops, and daylilies. Underplant with low-growing, sprawling undercovers like junipers and some continasters, which allow you to tuck the leaves beneath the branches. And for edibles, harvest broccoli when the florets are still tight and green. Excuse me. After harvesting the main head, broccoli will put out smaller sized heads from the side shoots. Pick cauliflower before the curds begin to separate, and cabbage before it bolts or blooms. Pick green sugar snap and snow peas every couple of days to keep more coming. Stop harvesting asparagus spears when they get close to pencil size. Fasten indeterminate tomatoes to a stake. This will keep their fruit off the ground to avoid disease problems. Determinate tomatoes, which branch more and ripen their fruit all at once, are best enclosed in a reinforced wire tomato cage. Wind their branches around the inside of the cage, excuse me, as they grow. With your fingers, pinch out the suckers of indeterminate tomatoes to harvest larger tomatoes. Suckers are shoots that develop in the U between the main stem and a branch. If left in place, they will eventually become larger branches. Your plant will produce smaller tomatoes, but lots of them. And for lawns, maintain a sharp mower blade and recycle the grass clippings by leaving them on the lawn. mow your warm season lawn at the recommended height with a sharp blade. Avoid cutting more than one-third of the height, or the plant may be stressed, exposing it to a weed invasion. For perennials, begin staking tall growing plants when they reach one-third of their mature heights. Place the stakes close to the plant, but take care to avoid damaging the root system. Secure the stems of the plants to stakes in several places with materials that will not cut into the stem. Tie the twine into a figure eight to avoid binding the stem. Summer and fall flowering perennials often require support. Some plants, however, can simply be pruned back lightly in midsummer to reduce their height and encourage branching and sturdiness. Swamp sunflower can be handled this way. In the spring, when new shoots in a clump of garden phlox reach 8 to 10 inches tall, thin out all but 4 or 5 of the well-spaced healthy ones to allow good air circulation. Thinning helps prevent disease, especially powdery mildew, improves the appearance of the plants, and produces sturdier stems. Some spring flowering perennials should be sheared after flowering, cutting them back by one half. Among them are cheddar pinks, bath pinks, and firewitch, evergreen candy tuft, and moss phlox. Garden chrysanthemums can be sheared when the new growth reaches 4 to 6 inches in length. Shearing an inch off the top will delay flowering and encourage business and the production of a lot of flower buds. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And I hope you'll join us next time in the next podcast for the continuation of What to Do in May.